Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Hello, hello, we have a new quiz show. It's time for you and Donnie and Joe to play quiz show. Hello, hello, oh, limits, questions below. We're glad you're here, so grab your beer. It's time for quiz show.
Yeah, like that guy just sang, it is time for quiz show. Donnie Football here for a little Donnie Chedrick hour, I might add. Donnie, welcome.
Hello, Joe.
How are you?
Good Friday. 2 hours to go. You got a tea time this afternoon, maybe?
Yeah. 2:28, maybe?
You knew the answer to that question, Donnie.
At Quicksilver, it's wonderful to have you. Thank you for taking the time. There's a twist on quiz show today. And I mean,
I didn't even know
twist.
We were having one today.
Yeah,
I didn't either.
I wanted to surprise you on two counts, and I think I did. The twist on it, Donnie, is it's not me against you and you against me. It's you against your old friend Limits, and I'm administering the questions.
Oh, boy. We might be in trouble, Limits.
I think we are.
I'm running quiz show today, and it is a Sheltie, two guys that we said goodbye to this week. It's a Sheltie George Pickens-themed quiz show. Are you ready for this, Donnie?
Let's do it.
All right. You go first on the first question. We'll alternate between Sheltie and Pickens, okay?
Okay.
I'll just keep score. I don't even know how many questions I have, but I do have a doozy of a final question.
Oh, boy. All right.
Well, wait, does that mean he has every Pickens question and I have every...
No. Well...
Or how do you think that'll go?
Ooh, that is true.
I mean, that's okay.
You'll
it's
have to
just
flip
questions.
Around.
You'll
have
if
to
you
flip
don't get them right,
questions.
Then the other guy has to answer them. Right?
Yeah.
Now you've confused me.
Donnie, we're getting into the quiz show
right.
And we're already screwing it up.
George Pickens, Donnie, has the sixth most receiving TDs from the 2022 draft. Everybody taken in that draft. Who has the most from 22? There's two guys tied. I'll give you credit for either one, Donald. Yes, I will.
I'm going to go Garrett Wilson.
Wrong. Limits? Wrong.
Chris Olave?
No, that's a good guess, actually.
I'm trying to recall who was in that draft class.
Limits, back to you.
Is Jameson Williams in that draft? I'll go with him.
Wrong. Limits?
Jordan Addison?
Wrong. Donnie? This is riveting theater right now. Come on, you know. I thought this would be in your wheelhouse, Donnie. This is what you love.
It's hard to remember guys from specific draft classes.
Yeah.
Drake London and Romeo Doubs each have 15.
Romeo Doubs, really?
How about that?
I like Doubs. I like a lot of those Green Bay receivers. I know that's been like a conversation of like where are the Steelers going to find another guy.
Yeah, I'm stunned that that went to by without a correct answer, but here we go. Not that I would have gotten it if I hadn't looked it up, by the way. 0-0. We have a scoreless tie. See if the Pirates get shut out for the eighth time this year.
Yeah, here's the Sheltie question.
Limits. How many minor league home runs did Sheltie hit for the Greensboro Hornets in 1993?
Four.
Donnie? Wrong.
6.
Limits?
9.
Donnie?
You hate number questions. Why 1. Are you asking a number question?
Donnie just got it right.
That's it? Just 1?
Don't talk during other people's answers. Limits.
I get told when I make the quiz show, limits, no years, no dates, no numbers.
Unbelievable, Donnie. I'm trying my best to create an entertaining quiz show, and now I'm taking shots from him in the same week.
Because you love to take shots at me.
The same
for the
week
quiz
that
show.
He went after Pomp and called his opinion great. Ridiculous. Did you hear about that?
I heard about that.
What did you make of it?
Well, Pony embellished it a little bit, but then you played
the
audio.
There was no embellishment. Bob was hurt. Limits went after The Godfather. He called him ridiculous. It was incredible.
I called his take ridiculous. Not Bob. I called his take ridiculous.
Play that for Donnie. He may not have heard it lately.
Oh, I'm sure he's probably heard it 7 times by now.
Do you have it?
I am currently looking for it. It's in here somewhere. We've played a lot.
Come on,
of,
Folesy.
We've played a lot of things over the last couple of days.
So would you rather have Howard or Drew Aller?
Howard.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
You have to be kidding
I am not,
me.
I'm not sold on Drew Allard. Or Drew Aller, either.
All right, Bob, if Drew Aller...
Bob, this is a newsflash.
I am not, ready to put him... all these quarterbacks have questions. I have no idea. But
if I told you right now,
yeah.
You have a franchise,
I'm
offering you one of two quarterbacks to move forward with into the future, and I'm not sold on Drew Aller either, believe me, especially as the top overall
because
pick.
Because I don't know.
Gave you two choices, Will Howard and Drew Aller. You would take Will Howard as your guy.
Yeah, I would.
That is an absolutely ridiculous take.
Wow, Donnie.
I'll be honest, Austin. Yesterday, I had not heard the clip yet.
Yeah.
And when Pony brought it up yesterday, Chris and I just kind of laughed it off. Like, okay, he's definitely going over the top here. Pony was not as over the top as I thought he was.
Oh, yeah. This was, it became a bigger story. Him going after
really
the Godfather.
You really did go after the big man.
Than the George Pickens trade.
It was bigger than the Pickens trade.
That's what Joe claims.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was big, because I think it's a scorching hot take. Joe, you agreed with that. Scorching hot take. You didn't call it ridiculous like I did. Scorching hot take to say Will Howard, a guy taken in the 6th round that might have been undrafted if he stayed at Kansas State and didn't go to Ohio State and went to the draft.
That's okay. We move on. Donnie won.
Exhausted.
Donnie of the same amount of right answers that Shelty had in his minor league career. Home runs. 1. He hit 1 for the Greensboro Hornets.
And now it's back to me, right?
And that was it for his entire minor league career.
Where did Shelty play?
The Greensboro Hornets.
Like, what position did he play?
I don't know, Limits. We have to move on. Why is he doing this,
Donnie? Maybe I'm just curious.
He's jealous that I've taken over the quiz show, and he's sabotaging
it. Hey, Charrington said that Derek Shelton was a curious manager. I'm curious about how Derek Shelton did and where he played.
All right, I'll hit you with a Shelty question then, Donnie, since you questioned the order of questions. Shelty's first game. And we'll all remember it for the rest of our lives, Donnie. July 25th, 2020, in St. Louis. Believe it or not, the Pirates lost. I know that's a shocker. 5-4. Who batted cleanup for the Pirates that day?
Oh, boy.
What a great question,
oh,
isn't
man.
It?
That's
Limits?
A great question.
I'm going to go with the legendary Phil Evans.
That is a great guess.
Was that right?
No. No, you're not right, but you almost get credit for just the guess.
I'm going to go with my guy. I have his jersey in my closet. El Cafe, Gregory Polanco.
A great guess because he batted cleanup a lot early that season.
Oh, man.
But also wrong. May I give you a clue, Donnie?
Are you good accepting a clue here? I'm good with a clue.
Of course you're good with a clue. You're up 1-0. Sure, Donnie can get a clue.
He actually wasn't horrifyingly bad here, and some people remember him quite fondly.
Colin Moran?
No.
That's a great guess there, though.
That's a great guess.
You don't remember Redbeard fondly?
I do. Ron talked about Colin Moran like he was Brooks Robinson.
Was it Kevin Newman?
No. You guys need to think more conventionally. People really loved him at one point, actually. First baseman for the Pirates.
Oh, Josh Bell.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Donnie, 2, Limits, nothing.
Great.
Limits.
I forgot he was still on the team. They traded him in 21.
Yeah. This one is unbelievable. George Pickens ranks 32nd in Steelers history in touchdown catches. Limits, you got this one?
I hope.
Which running back from the 80s maybe the early 90s, definitely the 80s. Which running back ranks just ahead of Pickens, who had 12 touchdowns with 13 career touchdown catches?
Barry Foster?
No, he was from the 90s.
You said 90s.
I like that guess, though.
Okay, now that's a little touch of Malzahn disease. It's okay to say you were wrong. It's okay to say you were wrong. You're relapsing.
Maybe the question was a little deceiving. Maybe that's more Malzahn disease.
Just say you were wrong. It's okay. Nobody's judging you.
I should have went with my first guess. That was my second guess.
Walt Abercrombie.
That was my first guess. Please tell me that's not it.
It's not Abercrombie.
Okay, great. Those were my two guesses.
Limits, may I give you a clue?
Please.
He went on to play for the Chicago Bears. Should be a bigger clue than it apparently is.
Well, Tim Worley.
No. Come on, Donnie.
I can't really think of who this is.
All right. I can't give you a clue. I'll give him the next clue because he's desperate.
It's not Merrill Hodge.
I don't know. Is it Merrill Hodge?
Merrill Hodge.
Correct, Donnie.
Donnie is kicking my ass.
It's 3-0, Donnie.
I have to depend on the big question.
Donnie's performing miracles. Whose turn is it?
Donnie's turn.
It's me.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm getting destroyed. There's more blowouts than the 1960 World Series.
Don't worry about it, buddy. We have more questions than usual here. Of his challenges with George Pickens, Mike Tomlin once used a metaphor to describe them. What was the metaphor? He said these are like... what?
Oh.
A what? I'll even give you that as the beginning of the sentence. These problems with Pickens are like a blank, 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 blank. Four words. I have to give you a time limit, Donnie.
Yeah.
I'll
pass it to limits.
Limits, they're like what? He famously said.
Can you repeat it again?
Pickens is creating issues again at some point in Tomlin's tenure. Tomlin attempts to disregard them, to blow them off by saying they are just a blank, 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 blank. Four words, a metaphor for something that is just a tiny little problem. They are what?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question.
Wrong.
I might have a guess.
Please, they're what?
Figure of our imagination.
If you pull this one out, Donnie. Say it.
Okay, four words?
Yeah.
Is it a pebble in my shoe?
Donnie, this guy's incredible limits. That's four for Donnie. Give him a hand. Play the clapping thing. Donnie, you are amazing.
I was thinking like thorn in my side. That wouldn't be the answer. Something like, and then I started thinking like something in my foot.
Yes, a pebble in my shoe. Remember he said that? This is incredible. Limits, you're getting shut out here.
It hit me.
You're actually enacting Sheltie's Pirates by getting shut out here.
Legitimately,
right, I'm going to give you the easy ones.
This is why I'm not good at quiz questions.
I'm going to get you back in the game here. You ready?
Please.
Who was George Pickens blocking for at the goal line against the Colts a few years back when he blatantly quit and later said he didn't want to risk injury? Who was he blocking for? Which guy had the ball?
Deontay Johnson.
Oh, my God.
Jalen Warren.
Yes, it's 5-0. Come on, Limits.
I hate quizzes. I hate them.
Because Warren would later like lay a dude out against the Bengals, I think.
Yeah.
And then Jalen Warren's not afraid to block.
Right.
Now the text line's killing me. Come on, Limits. Limits sucks.
Limits. Limits sucks.
Going from bad to worse.
All right.
Limits is unbearable with the Drew Aller take.
Here we go.
It's
5-0. You need to answer the next two to set up a possible tie by getting the three-point question right. Are you ready? Donnie, I guess it's your turn.
Or else I might have to go into retirement from the quiz.
Welcome aboard, everybody. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Limits complains about making the questions for the show, so I figure I'll give him a break and make him one of the contestants, and now he's bitching about that.
Looks like I'll have to go back to making the questions next time.
So, and Donnie's up 5-0, which is about the score of every Sheltie game. It's a Sheltie Pickens centered quiz. Donnie, Derek Shelton is tied for, I believe, 9th or 12th, now I can't remember, on the Pirates' all-time win list, believe it or not, for managers. And he's tied with a former Pirates player who became manager for a different team, Who's he tied with? This former Pirate. Actually, it's 23rd with a four. Oh, crap. I screwed this up. No, I screwed it up. Yeah. Yeah. No. I didn't screw it up. Who's he tied with on the Pirates' all-time win list?
And he did. Okay, so the guy didn't manage for.
Strike the question. The question is crap. Forget it.
The question sucks.
It's my fault. I'm sorry. Shelty is 12th in wins in 306. Where does he rank in losses in Pirate history, Donnie?
Rank in losses.
Good question, isn't it?
I'm going to say third.
Limits?
I was going to say fourth.
Ninth. You're both wrong. Who did Pickens pick a fight with in the Cleveland game instead of doing his job the Hail Mary?
I know the answer. Greg Newsom.
Yeah, here we
Finally, on the board.
Limits is on the board. Very good.
Glad I didn't say Denzel Ward or something.
All right. Donnie, October 16th, 2022, on a 7-yard pass from Kenny Pickett. What team did George Pickens score his first touchdown against?
Oh.
Limits, this sounds like another chance for you.
Mm-hmm. I think I might know.
I think you might know.
October 16th, 2022.
Yes. Three. Two.
I'll go
one.
Saints.
Wrong.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, God. No. Come on, Limits. October 16th, 2022, Pickens catches a 7-yard pass from Kenneth Pickett, once referred to as the future version of, who was it?
Joe Montana.
Montana to Rice.
Pickens to Pickett to Pickens.
Not the Bills. That's a good question. It's an AFC East team, Limits. Can you please get the answer right?
The Miami Dolphins.
Yes. It's 5-2.
I knew it
was 5-2.
That Sunday night game.
And now Limits has a chance to tie.
Here we go.
Here we go with the three-point
question.
Donnie, I present this to you. Shelty is tied for 23rd all-time from the bottom in winning percentage for a major league manager, okay? So only 22 people in the history of baseball had a worse winning percentage than him as a manager. Capiche?
Okay.
You understand that so far?
Yeah.
Only 22 people had a worse winning percentage than Shelty as a major league manager. How many of those managers can you name?
Oh, boy.
Donnie, without thinking. How many can you name?
One.
Limits? One of the 22. You can tie this game.
I will try to name two.
Okay. Go. And there's a time limit. Come on. These names have been all over the place. What's his name? Gorgeous Borges has been repeating this for days on
end.
Yeah,
I know that. The guy from World War II and the other guy from 1877.
Nah, there's an obvious one who has a worse one. Come on. Name some. All you need is two when you tie up the game. Five,
I'm trying to think of awful managers over the last however many years there's been.
Three, two.
Oh, Skip Schumacher. With Miami.
I don't think he was worse.
No, you're wrong about that.
No,
Lance.
He couldn't
have
been worse.
Now, I can name some familiar ones. Dale Sveum, former Pirate. Preston Gomez from Miami. Alan Trammell. John Russell. Come on, Limits, at 384.
I think Russell was the only guy I had a shot with.
Really? This Preston Gomez, that name's been going around
for
a while.
Like, I know the tweet. I couldn't think of any of the names that Charlie
I couldn't either.
Put on
Roy
there.
Hartsfield, who managed the expansion Blue Jays. Doc Prothrow back in the 1800s.
Really? Doc Prothrow? Are we supposed to get that?
I needed Limits to take my bait when I said one, hoping he would say two.
It was brilliant. You should have called Ron as a lifeline. He covered Doc Prothrow.
The Confluence tweets, someone get Rowdy Tellez to relieve Limits in this game.
All right, Donnie. Congratulations. You won 8-2 over Limits.
Congratulations, Donnie.
I thought
kicking
you played
my
well.
Ass.
Yeah. Now that you're here, your thoughts on the Pickens deal. Let me phrase this to you the way that I phrased it to Ray Fittipaldo earlier. A year from now and 5 years from now, will we look back on this and say the Steelers did the right thing, or man, are the Steelers ever regretting this?
So I heard Ray's answer on this, and in which I I don't want to call out Ray and say it was like a cop-out of an answer because he said, well, what? Well, he could go to Dallas and have 4 1,000-plus-yard seasons and the Steelers wouldn't regret it. We sure about that? Because I would say, oh, looks like this guy's getting along just fine with where the hell he is. I gave the grade for it a C+. Pony and Chris were over the moon about it. And listen, I understand the cancerous vibes that a player like George Pickens brings to a team's locker room. But you just put yourself in a, maybe not the exact same, but a very similar situation to what you were just in last year. So instead of George Pickens and Van Jefferson, now it is DK Metcalf and Robert Woods. So you're going to go into the season. Now, sure, they could sign somebody and they could prove us wrong, or they could make a deal with a team like Green Bay or Houston, some team that has an overload at receivers. But we saw last year, we put faith into them to do something. We sat around all summer, and they got made to look like fools by Brandon Ayuk. So I'm sorry if I'm not going to have faith in the front office to make sure they fill this void of having a legit number two wide receiver in the offense, because they didn't do it last year. We saw how that panned out.
Is Calvin Austin capable of being a number two?
See, I don't think like true like wide receiver two, like Calvin Austin. Like,
yeah, I tend to agree with
third
you.
Guy. Yeah, I mean he had a nice season. I thought he had a nice season. He had a year where we look back on and think, okay, this guy wasn't a wasted draft pick. He is of some use. He can do something.
Yeah,
but he's just not like a true like second wide receiver threat in an offense. And I thought it was pointed out well yesterday. We had Steve Palazzolo on, and he said something that hasn't really gotten brought up is that we have not seen DK Metcalf play in an offense where there is not a true second threat at receiver.
Mm.
And he said Tyler Lockett had a great career with Seattle, and he was 1-2 with DK Metcalf for a while. Jackson Smith and Jigba, the last couple of years in Seattle, a very good number two with DK Metcalf. So we haven't seen what he looks like or what his numbers look like when he is like the standalone number one threat with a big void behind him, because I'm not going to act like Robert Woods or Roman Wilson is going to like rise from the ashes here after his rookie season where he played like six snaps and just like fill that major void that's sitting there.
All right. The other big story, Donnie Chedrick in for the noon hour on Fridays, as he usually is, was of course Shelty leaving. And which one will you miss more, Pickens or Shelty, Donnie, as a sports entity, as something to talk about, as just generally speaking, as a sports fan in Pittsburgh?
I mean, George Pickens was a headache, but the guy at least did some really cool things on the field and would occasionally do some really positive things. Shelty, I can't think of like a single positive thing to really come out of his tenure. And I know it's a harsh way to say it, but it's true. I mean, the guy had...
I can, and let me play it for you. His interview, or at least his question and answer with the Noah Constrictor after a game last year in which Rowdy Tellez had become basically the Penguin or the Pirates closer with his third appearance in 2 weeks.
Yeah, come on, Noah. It's 11-0. It's 11-0. Bednar, Holderman, both threw yesterday. Santana's been our best reliever. Come on, you've watched enough baseball to know that. It's 11-0. Seriously. You don't have to ask. There's a better question than that. Okay. Seriously. I mean, it's 11-0.
And I want you to pay close attention, Donnie, to the very meager, that the Noah Constrictor delivers. Now, all credit to the Noah Constrictor, Noah Hiles of the Post-Gazette, because this question needed to be asked. I shouldn't call it meager. It was just like, all right, forget it. When he delivers the tiny little,
Come on, Noah. It's 11-0. It's 11-0. Bednar, Holderman both threw yesterday. Santana's been our best reliever. Come on, you've watched enough baseball to know that. It's 11-0. Seriously. You don't have to ask. There's a better question than that.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, it's 11-0.
Donnie, low-key, was that the bright spot in that interview, the okay that the Noah Constrictor delivered?
Yeah, it probably was. Probably a bright spot in the guy's career. But, yeah, I mean, you have to miss Pickens more because the guy would at least do some positive things. You can't really think
of... Well, yes, it was kind of, a rhetorical question, right? Pickens did help them win some games. He's a spectacular talent. But I'm with Malzi and Pony if what they were saying, I didn't hear all of what they said. It's addition by subtraction. I don't think you win with guys like George Pickens. You know, the very least you can do is show up on time, not quit on routes, not quit on blocks. He's not a guy you win with. And I think, I believe in that old saying, people can change, but for the most part, when you tell me who you are, I'm going to believe you.
And I agree with that, and that's why I didn't say the trade was like a D or an F or anything ridiculous like that. Yeah. That's why I just kind of put like an average score on it, because I do agree that the vibes that player brings to the locker room are not good. That being said, them having no backup plan makes it tough. But at the same time with him, okay, you get rid of him. It makes you look, when they do that, like, okay, there's a clear path to their future. Like, they want to build for the future, which I would have no problem with a bad season. We've been over this. And I feel like not necessarily a tank job, but a season like 2003 proved to be quite vital to this organization's operation over the last two decades.
Yeah.
That being said, they don't act as if they're a team that is willing to lose anytime soon. You don't trade for DK Metcalf if you do that. You don't court Aaron Rodgers at every turn if you want to do that. If you wanted to actually prove to all of us, hey, it is about 2026, 2027 and beyond, you tell Rodgers, you know, thanks but no thanks. You run it forward with Mason Rudolph and Will Howard. And
maybe a trade TJ Watt even.
And you have, they already have, I think, a dozen picks in next year's draft.
Right. All right, Donnie. We'll continue Steeler talk. We'll take a look at the Pirates moving forward. What you think of Don Kelly, who's been called an elite human being. Not just like, hey, he's a really good guy and a good baseball man. Ben Cherington refers to him as an elite human being. I don't even know what that means, Donnie. How many truly elite human beings do you know?
And it came from a not very elite general manager.
Not very elite at all. You know what that signifies? It's time for a Bechtold breakdown. But first, I might add, Donnie, one of our salespeople texted me and said that one of your clients wants to sponsor a wedding cake for you.
About that,
this is unbelievable, Donnie. You could have a free wedding cake. You're gonna go with the cookie table, and still might, I'm sure.
Yeah, the cookie table's a definite.
It's in. Yeah, he's already in your lineup. But why not add a free wedding cake if you can? Because that was the reason for not having one, is the prohibitive cost, right?
Yeah, I'll have to have a conversation, I guess.
I mean, this is real big, isn't it?
Donnie, could the vows be sponsored? Could the groomsmen be sponsored? Could the apparel be sponsored?
Right. And even the honeymoon could be sponsored.
Oh, well, that would be a nice one to be sponsored.
Honeymoon travel sponsored by.
Yeah, that would be a nice one to get covered.
All right, Limits, let's get to the breakdown.
All right, let's do it. The Bechtel breakdown for this Friday, May 9th, brought to you by Southside Plumbing and Heating. Thanks to our good friend Jake at Southside Plumbing and Heating. Kyle Brandt was on the NFL Network giving a take after George Pickens was traded that the Steelers will still find a way, Mike Tomlin, to have a winning record.
I'm always in on the Steelers. I will never abandon them. They don't do filler seasons. They don't do 6-11 seasons. They will find a way to 10-7 or 9-8. You know it and I know it. I don't care who they get rid of. And yet, I still don't know what the hell the plan is. If the plan is for Rodgers, then you just severed a huge piece of talent with which to carry a 41-year-old quarterback who's going to need it. If the plan's not for Rodgers and it's some, holy crap, we're actually going with Mason Rudolph thing, which I know there are some Steelers fans who say, screw it, let's do it, then you need as much talent to carry him. So I don't know what the plan is with quarterbacks still, just like you do. And just when we think it couldn't get weirder that the Steelers don't have a quarterback, they get rid of one of their best receivers.
See, I just don't agree with the notion that they are just automatically going to go 9-8, 10-7.
Really?
I just don't.
Well, what dissuades you from that? Except all of history would indicate they are.
Yeah, and guess what? History at some point changes. Sometimes there's a break-even point with things. And I think that this year, especially with either Rodgers on an injury concern or Rodgers doesn't even come here, I think they're a six-win team with Mason Rudolph.
You and I and everybody else knows, even with Mason Rudolph,
Donnie,
they're
agree
going 9-8 and they're
that.
Getting blown out of a first-round playoff game.
And you can say,
game.
Duck Hodges and Mason, yeah, and they still had a winning record.
Thank you, Lynch.
I think it's going to be different this year if they
Donnie?
Don't have Rodgers.
I mean, I hope I would hope they could have a season where it's only 6 or 7 wins, but I'm on Kyle Brandt's side there.
Yeah.
Like by I every single year until Mike Tomlin is no longer their coach, as much as we joke about the 500 or better thing, by hook or by crook, they find their way.
And make no mistake either with this, and I love Kyle Brandt. He's probably my favorite football commentator.
Yeah, I think he's really good.
He rips the Steelers. It was his quote, pick a year. I think it was last year after they got blown out of a playoff game. The Steelers have shown they can hit singles. They hit singles every year. They're a pretty good hitter. Could you hit a double one of these years? Maybe a triple? Forget about homers. Could you hit a double one year? I thought that was very well said. Next.
Louis Riddick on ESPN thinks that the Steelers trading George Pickens is a good thing?
Look, there comes a point in time, Kev, where, it's just not a tenable situation anymore. They just feel as though that the talent does not warrant them tolerating whatever issues that the player was causing. And they just say, hey, look, it doesn't really matter what it looks like on paper. To us, we feel as though this could potentially be, quote unquote, an addition by subtraction type of situation. And hey, they get to see guys on their football team like Calvin Austin. They get to see guys like Roman Wilson. Now
they see these guys every day.
All of his rookie season in 24 with that hamstring injury.
So, Donnie, my question to you, is this addition by subtraction with George Pickens? Is Louis Riddick right?
I mean, the names he threw out there are really grasping at straws. They're going to look at guys like Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson, who played in one game last year.
Did you see George Pickens in one of the biggest games of the year last year at home against Cincinnati melt down like he was the worst version of Ben Skoranek? He's not. I just don't think he's a guy you can win with, Donnie. I don't. I think a guy who quits in the middle of games and shows up late to a game and crap like that isn't going to change. And while he may wow us with his talent from time to time, I just don't think you're going to win with him. I think it is addition. I think it's the very definition of addition by subtraction.
Roman Wilson played 5 snaps last year, by the way. But to something else that Riddick said there, where he brought up like the talent doesn't match the headache, it did until they acquired DK Metcalf, because before then, Pickens was allowed to run roughshod over them and do whatever the hell he wanted.
Right.
Because he knew players are smart enough to know, no matter what level of football it is, it could be peewee football or it could be the NFL,
right,
where if they know, hey, they don't have a real option behind me, I can be the biggest jackass in the world and they're still going to put me out there. He knew he could do that. So until they got Metcalf, that's when things changed. It didn't have like the talent part of it changing.
No, but the other thing that's happening here is I'm certainly not lauding the Steelers for this. And it's come out in the past few days, this narrative, oh man, the Steelers again, look at them. They know how to get the most out of receivers and then cut bait at just the right time. Man, that Mike Tomlin is something else. There was an analytics guy who put out a little chart who said, look at these Steelers. Look at what these guys do while they're here and then when they go away. Mike Tomlin gets the most out of them and then he gets rid of them. And I wanted to retweet him. I didn't feel like getting in a Twitter fire at the moment. I was going to retweet and quote it and say, please don't forget about the part where said receiver, and there have been multiple ones, implode while they're here under Tomlin and contribute to the ruination of seasons before they leave. Please stop giving him credit for correcting his own egregious mistakes. He thought he could outsmart the whole NFL by drafting Pickens, where in this Steeler culture, Pickens would thrive. Instead, in this culture, like so many others, he was emboldened and he was enabled, and they had to get rid of him because he was destroying the team or helping do so internally. This is not a case of credit for Mike Tomlin. This is a case of Mike Tomlin, again, losing control of a receiver and them having to get rid of him before it was time.
And along those same lines, why does it keep happening?
Right.
Like, why?
Because people are delusional.
Because the amount of receivers, this keeps happening.
Art might believe what these people believe. Man, Mike Tomlin, just amazing. He gets all this out of these guys, and then just at the right time, they still get something back for him. Wow. Okay, What about the part where George Pickens and Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson and Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant all helped to torpedo seasons and ruin seasons for the Steelers? Do we just not mention that? That just goes by the wayside? It's just about a graph of their production here compared to what they do afterward, and then more credit for Tomlin? What about the fact he lost control of every single one of them and they helped to ruin Steelers seasons? It's incredible the mass delusion that happens when people are analyzing this franchise, which hasn't come close to winning a playoff game since 2016.
We had to say it together.
There are occasional guys, too, that go elsewhere and still play well. Like, people never want to throw those names in. Maybe they weren't, like, the flashiest, or they weren't the biggest of headaches.
Yeah.
But occasionally you get an Emmanuel Sanders, who had several 1,000-yard seasons.
Mike Wallace had a great year in Miami.
Mike Wallace did just fine.
Kansas City.
Even Antonio Brown helped the team win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Because
Brady.
After asking out of the Raiders, though, with his cryotherapy chamber.
Right.
Next, Jeff Howell of The Athletic reports, teams reportedly laughed at the idea of adding George Pickens to their roster during the 2025 draft. Howell wrote that word leaked during the draft Pickens was available if anybody wanted him. Some teams pulled by The Athletic at the time laughed at the idea of inviting Pickens into their locker room for any price, let alone a second-day pick. There wasn't a lot of interest in talking with the Steelers about a trade. So it seemed like the market was very limited.
Well, there's a big surprise. A guy who shows up late to everything, including games. A guy who refuses to block. A guy who quits on routes. A guy who needs babysat on the sidelines. A guy who quits on the final play against the Browns and gets in a fight instead. A guy who fights his home fans and road fans. Wouldn't be wanted by other teams? I'm stunned, Donnie.
Any accuracy to the report that Pickens was late on Christmas Day to the game against the Chiefs?
Man, that's a few days back. I really don't know I have the answer to that, to be quite honest with you. I got a lot going on in pregame. I can't answer that definitively.
Pregame.
The question there from Benzie was like a tombstone pile driver from The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Undertaker!
It really was. I mean, Benzie just came parachuting in from the ceiling.
The other thing to go along with that, and I know that, it could have hurt their leverage after the fact. They saw this coming. They didn't draft a receiver at all.
No.
Right.
Like, I would have still had that in my plans of, this might hurt our leverage once we get out of the draft, and maybe it only ends up being a fourth-round pick or something.
Yeah.
I would have drafted a receiver.
I agree with you there, although they essentially still have a receiver they drafted in Roman Wilson. Just pretend they made the third-round pick this year. What's the difference? Here's the other thing, Donnie.
I mean, they put him in the doghouse, though, big time.
They did. Well, I guess we'll see with him.
I'd like him
starting
to be good,
in camp. But here's the other thing. Of course, nobody in the league wanted George Pickens. We know that. All they got, if we all agree that George Pickens is a top five receiver in terms of pure talent, and I think we do, if not top two in the NFL, do we agree on that?
Oh, he's the talent, absolutely.
And he's had some production, so we have seen it on the field, and the best they could get for that in a receiver-hungry league where receivers have become, like, premium assets, the best they could do was a third-round pick, and now we're going to make the extension, the leap that the Dallas Cowboys know better than everybody? I ain't making that leap. The Cowboys don't know better than everybody, and I think he's going to implode there as well.
The Cowboys were also seemingly the one team that would be dumb enough to overpay for this.
Right.
They gave the Panthers roughly the same compensation for Jonathan Mingo last year.
Is he related to Barcavius Mingo?
He might be. He's about as productive in the NFL, too. They also traded, what, like a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance?
Yeah, Trey Lance.
Yeah.
He's out of football. Wow, where is he right now? Is he out of football?
So add up all those things, and I just don't think that George Pickens is suddenly going to be this amazing star in Dallas. I don't. Maybe he will for 1 year to get his contract, but even if he does, a relapse will be in store.
Next!
Meaning a relapse to his behavioral issues.
I'm sorry for cutting you off. Next.
I'm sorry for cutting you off, Limit.
On the podcast Foul Territory, which is run by Ken Rosenthal and a lot of former MLB players. Joe, we discussed this a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Rosenthal chimed in on the situation with ownership, but it's what Eric Kratz, former Bucko catcher, had to say about Derek Shelton that really caught my eye.
The owner is ultimately the biggest problem. They were in classic fire the manager territory. They're 12-26. There seems to be a malaise about them. Is it his fault? As AJ said, it's absolutely not his fault. This problem that they have goes so much deeper. It goes to the general manager, who has not done enough with limited resources, and it goes to the owner, who continually provides limited resources.
Unlike some of the managers that just recently got fired in the last year, Derek Shelton should get another managerial job, and this time it'll be a job that's not like a tryout job, because the Pirates essentially said, hey, we want you to make apple juice, but we're going to give you a bunch of lemons. Go at it. The way that you grade how Derek Shelton did, ask players who have improved under him how he is as a manager. That's his resume, not the record that Bob Nutting refused to try to improve for him.
What players have improved?
Where are you going to find those players, Kratzy? I mean, which players improved under him? I agree with most of what he said or they said. I mean, everybody on the planet does, that the problem begins with the owner and that the GM's terrible, even with limited resources. He's awful. But Shelty is going to find another managerial job. Is he out of his mind that anybody would look at the job he did here and say, yeah, man, look at the young guys that got better. Find one. Tell me about one guy that got better here. Donnie?
I don't even know if you could argue for one. Like,
do you think Derek Shelton will ever manage a major league team again?
On a permanent basis, no.
Neither do I.
Like maybe an interim somewhere.
Kratzy's lost his mind.
I don't get it.
People,
no.
Like, listen, I agree. The ultimate problem we know is at the top. And I also think that Ben Cherington is worse at his job than Shelton was at his.
Agreed.
But let's also not act as if Shelton was like this guy who was really good at his job and was just like.
No, he was horrible
at
his job.
He was just held down, physically held down by the owner and the GM to make sure he was not good at his job. Because then it makes me think of what could a big-time manager change have brought this team.
Right.
And you look at the Cincinnati Reds, who hired Terry Francona, who are 19-20. You know, they're right there around 500. They're 3.5 games out. The Pirates are 10. The entire division has run away,
yeah.
By the way. The Pirates aren't close to anybody in the Central.
No. The things that he could have controlled here, which was maybe some accountability now and again, there was none. Maybe a third base coach who didn't wave everybody in who came to third base during the whole year, Mike Rebelgo, carrying on the grand tradition of Goey Cora and Rick
Gofield.
And Rick Gofield. Maybe a batting order that made sense, even if everybody in it sucked. Maybe managing the bullpen when they actually had a chance to win instead of making some of the most nonsensical decisions I've ever seen during a 10-game losing streak. He was a really bad manager. I mean, we reached the point during August of last year where I was asking Shelty every week about his job security, Donnie. Shelty, I've asked you this in many different ways, but as we talk about the future, have you been given any assurance that you will be here next year?
Like I've told you before. I mean, you love to talk about this topic, Stark, every week. We'll talk about that at the end of the year, but my focus is the rest of the year and how we're going.
Well, I didn't talk about it last week because you can only talk about it so much. That was my final answer. I mean, I'm sorry, but when you lose, well, every game, that's going to be a topic. I had to ask him about it, and I tried to do it respectfully. And like I said yesterday, Donnie, I don't enjoy seeing people lose their jobs, but I'm not feeling sorry for the guy. He's a multimillionaire from his time here, and all he did was lose. And he'll find a job in baseball.
And think about what happened in 2023. The team started 20-8, and the guy gets a contract extension.
Right.
So, I mean, and this was something I pointed out a couple of weeks ago, you know, one of the Saturday morning Bucco talk shows, where I said if they have a similar start but in the other direction, then I think it's justified that the man is no longer the manager. And that's pretty much what we got. It wasn't direct like 8-20, but it was pretty close to that at 12-26. Like, if you're going to reward a guy so much for having one good month,
yeah,
then he should probably feel the pain if he has every other month be a bad one.
Now that I listened to that clip, Limits, from last year, I guess I'm not surprised that the Shelty show died a quick and untimely death this year.
Well,
are
considering
you?
That it's been a quick start to the season at 12-26 and Shelton's no longer here, maybe the writing was just on the wall.
Maybe he had an inkling it was going to go like this, and I was going to ask him about getting fired every week.
And he wouldn't like that, yeah.
No, he wouldn't have liked that. Donnie, you're a wonderful man. Thank you for coming in. I hope we do it. Well, we are going to do it again. It's become a tradition. Maybe next week you can run the quiz show. Me against Limits. Would you be up for that?
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah. I mean, you're beating both of us so handily that it might be best if you don't play. That if you're the commissioner instead of a player.
He needs to be benched.
Thank you, Donnie.
Thank you, guys. Donnie.
Good luck with the show today. Limits, we go from here to the kind of week we've had. Let's just play some highlights from the week. Give people a chance to weigh in. I still think the stories in order of impact on our sports city go 3, Shelty gets fired, 2, Pickens gets traded, 1, you insult the Godfather. I still think that's the biggest story in Pittsburgh sports this week.
It's not even close, but you can continue your exaggeration of it.
412-928-9370. What was the biggest sports story of the week? It's basically a free-for-all. We used to have that, the 540 free-for-all. At the end of the Seibel and Starkey show, for anybody who remembers that.
Oh, Joe, there's Malzy.
Here's Malzy, yeah.
Malzy. Oh, he has a gift for you.
I don't think it's for me.
No, it's not. I remember the end of that show.
Remember Lightning Ozzy?
I remember.
Do you remember 540
that? Free-for-all was one of the first real memories that I have of the station listening to that.
You were four.
That's probably why you're so scarred. Remember the showdown?
Limits
it's a showdown!
Limits had his binky in back then. He was like 4 when that was happening.
Limits was in diapers.
Malzy, what's the occasion of your visit?
I just was standing here and saw the light on and figured I'd just barge in like I always do. Donnie, playing golf today?
Yes, 2:24 tee time at Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you play the other day?
Poorly.
How you think you're going to play today?
Probably poorly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Many such cases with you, huh?
How did you play at Oakmont?
104. I didn't hit it. Like, that's like what, you know, you recognize the difference really quick here between like that place and virtually any other place on earth, especially when they're getting it ready for the U.S. Open.
Right.
So I didn't hit it bad. I hit 6 fairways, which for me, I mean, you've seen me play. I'm more of like a hit it far and then go chase it down. And you know, I'm not trying to be precise necessarily. And I had 2 or 3 more fairways that I barely missed. You know what I mean? And the greens are still diabolical. You're still 3 putting all the time, unless you're like reading it perfectly.
I played it a month ago.
Then when the rough's up, forget it. I mean,
but Bob played well.
He played phenomenally. He said it was as precise a round of golf strategically as he's played. And I got poor Richie losing a ball in the rough because it's so deep. Dude, where'd it go? So just tough sledding.
Thank you,
Malzy.
It's 105. Yes, we have to go. Goodbye. Let's do that next. 412-928-9370. Just an outlet for your feelings at the end of an emotional week. What am I supposed to do here? You're yelling at me. The 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. I already did the Crowley trip. Thank you, Limits.
Thank you.